All right, we are back in it, and there's lots of exciting stuff happening this morning. We've got a very special guest coming in a short while, somebody who has been on our YouTube channel from, I think it's 7 or 8 years ago, and it's the most watched YouTube video of all time on our channel. So we decided that is a good excuse to bring somebody in. And she comes back as a returning champion. It's not the most famous person in the world, but has beaten all the famous people on the show. So we're going to get to that in a short while. Okay, lots of cool stuff in between. Banksy, I see the artist Banksy, despite the fact that the UK is a total clusterfuck at the moment. Banksy is back. And what's he doing? He's made a new artwork, a couple of them actually.
A few. So yeah. The first one that I noticed,
yes,
was this police sentry, they call them. They're those little cubicles. They used to be set up in the olden days for when there was still quite a bit of fighting with Ireland. There were these like little lookout points. That's it there. So he's painted this like detailed fishing swimming scene. He's used spray paint that is translucent, and it's actually really pretty. So a lot of people have stopped to take photographs of that.
I mean, it's ironic that he should paint something with the police when actually the police are probably going to be needed on the streets more than ever.
Well, the thing is they're now looking for him because that's a crime. You can't deface.
You're joking.
No, I promise you.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Oh, Britain's such a crap place.
So boring.
Really?
And apparently it's absolutely stunning. But it doesn't fit in with the other art pieces. And there have been quite a few in just a few days.
So they're going to try and arrest him?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so... What a bunch of idiots. I mean, here's a guy who is making things better. He's painting. He does this incredible work all over London. They still don't know who exactly he is.
Mm-hmm.
Rich people are buying his work for millions and millions of pounds. And what do the Metropolitan Police want to do? Want to arrest him. Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's annoying.
All right.
Yeah, that other picture that was up there for a moment was a cat, a stretching cat. But, I mean, that's just like a black silhouette.
Go back to the cat.
Yeah, stretching cat there. So there they took that down because it was legal. I mean, they're just so boring.
Health and safety people, right?
Yeah. Anyway, but also this week, there've been some other animals featured, and these kind of look like they work together. The fish tank was very different.
Love that.
It's a goat. I thought it was dropping turds, but I think it's just meant to be rocks and things. Painted on an actual feature on the wall.
That's great.
That's a howling wolf, which that is a guy who was caught on camera stealing it just a few hours after it was revealed that it was
valuable.
A Banksy.
Right, they're valuable. So that guy's a thief.
That guy there is he's the actual thief. That's seconds before the entire satellite dish was stolen because it had a Banksy on it.
All right.
So, yeah, and there are some pelicans. This one I thought was quite fun because it's on Pretoria Avenue.
Oh.
In the UK, in London.
Very good.
At Bonner's Fish Bar, where he's got some pelicans reaching into the sign and stealing the fish to eat them, which I thought was...
Excellent.
That one's really cool. Yeah. And there were some elephants as well. The one over there on the left has been defaced by somebody by drawing some stripes on it before it was just two Ellie's making contact through.
You see, now, how does that not make those windows better? It obviously does.
Yeah.
They're not being used. They've been plastered up. I think that's so beautiful. It gives the place character. And look at those monkeys swinging on those imaginary lines.
Underneath the subway. I think that's absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if the cops manage to catch him. And stop the fun. Party poopers.
So talk about fun. Like they found evidence of hobbit-like creatures on a remote island. I mean, that's no way to talk about New Zealanders, is it? That's not very nice.
Yeah,
what's this all about?
It's in Indonesia. It's this little old lonely island in Indonesia. And they found this evidence before, but now this confirms it.
But what are these creatures just living there?
No, they're used to.
Oh.
So this is like
archaeological. So they're not there at the moment.
No.
Oh.
No.
I got all excited. I thought we'd discovered like primitive man still among us. No?
And when, no.
What's the point of Indonesia if they don't have like hidden tribes and hobbits?
Huh? And the funniest is when I saw this article, you know, when someone writes the article and it fits in with the theme?
Yes, of course.
And I thought this person's name was Tiny Dancer until I realized it was a subheading.
Okay, so what are these creatures? Tell me about them.
So they found like another bone, an arm bone of an adult, but it's about a third of the length of what it should be.
It's a dwarf.
That's the thing. They found these.
A dwarf.
These people were apparently 3.5 feet tall.
Hey, we're also people. We're also people.
They're not going to do well at the Olympics, are they?
They first found, so this is Homo florentius. They were found back in 2004, and then it was a media sensation. And now extinct cousin living on the Flores Island of Indonesia has been found. And this similar and even smaller hominin that basically underwent the process of island dwarfism. So apparently they got small. They started off big when they landed on the island.
You got it wrong. It's Homo floresiensis.
Floresiensis.
Okay.
So apparently they became genetically isolated. And adapted to become smaller in size due to less food and fewer predators.
Yeah, little squashed up heads. So you see, it's not a dwarf. Dwarves always have bigger heads. They have big heads and then small bodies. That's a dwarf.
Mm.
A midget is the everything's smaller. So they're more like midgets than they are dwarves.
Mm.
And they have little skulls. It's like a little like a spaniel. That's the only way I can describe it. Like a spaniel, and they were I'm looking at one now. Not very attractive. Got this very like perplexed and very like, ooh, you just frightened me while I was taking a shit look on their faces the whole time.
So, I mean, how dramatic were these people's lives? They arrived there because of a storm, so they were kind of washed up on this island.
Yeah.
Apparently, they were even taller than Homo erectus, and then they shrank.
Oh, right. So they got smaller over time.
Over thousands of years.
Okay. So basically, all right, I had my timelines wrong. So we were all evolving as one kind of human.
All around the world.
Right. But then these poor fuckers got washed onto this island, totally isolated. And instead of getting taller, they got smaller and smaller.
Because of less food.
Less food, more like predatory animals.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, the fact that you're here today, you are the luckiest creature in all of time, because think of how much suffering and misery all these other creatures that didn't make it went through. Like these things. There are none of their descendants left. They were all wiped out. There are none of these funny little jungle hobbits running around now.
Oh, no, we're under the
And what do you think? What do you think? I mean, if this is possible, how are we going to change?
Oh,
what is modern man going to look like?
Well, they'll find us one day and they'll go,
what a horrible life these poor people had. How they must have suffered.
All they did was lie around and watch TV.
Yeah, and doom scroll.
Yeah, and doom scroll through the devices, all of which the batteries are all dead and we don't know how to charge them.
So we'll just never know.
All the data centers have been burnt. We have no idea what they were watching so intently that their hands changed shape. Their eyes got bigger.
They got arthritis.
Yeah, they got arthritis, all that stuff.
They developed extra thumbs.
They'll say that about us. So apparently this Homo floresiensis or floresiensis, they're apparently about 50...
Floresiensis, yes.
About 50,000 years ago was when modern humans landed there. The remains of an individual who stood about 1.1 meters in height were discovered in 2003 at the Liangboa Cave. Great.
Mm.
All right. Well, another species that's gone. Well done, humans. You know, climate change and killing each other.
And thanks to Tiny Dancer for the article.
Yes.
Where would we be?
Next week, Leanne will tell us about Homo heidelbergensis and the Denisovan man.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I will. I'll have to research that.
Have you gone to Cradle of Humankind?
Yes.
You've gone to see Homo naledi?
Yes.
Oh. And Australopithecus sediba?
Yes.
Australopithecus. Not Lithicus. What's Lipidus?
Well, remember, it's the fat one. The Lipidus one. Remember at the time when that was found, I had as my tenant living on my property, the guy, Berger's student.
Yes.
Who also, his job was to find the tools that this person used.
It's a great story there. Professor Lee Berger.
That's right.
His son Matthew stumbled upon the bones.
Skeletons. Bits.
Yeah, the bits of this Homo naledi, which it was a big story.
Yeah.
And now you can go and see where it was all done, and they've got this great exhibition. And I think it's interesting to know about this stuff.
Mm, fascinating.
The origins of our species. Fascinating stuff, as Leanne says. Very, very good. And who knows? We might discover your ancestors one day, you great ape.
Yeah, you Neanderthal, you.
Exactly. All right, very, very nice. So I mentioned that our best ever video that we've ever had in terms of
views.
So
in other words, like views, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So we I don't really rank these things. I couldn't care less. I don't look back. But this thing is our most popular, but by a long way. It even got, just last week, another like 2,000 views or something. And you know what it is? It's a video we made with a woman who's a dominatrix.
Ah.
Yes. And we hadn't, I mean, I'd forgotten about this completely. She basically took Michael Flax, who was our producer at that point.
And young.
And like,
and
paddled
innocent.
Him. Like, just paddled him on the ass with like a, I don't know, some piece of leather or something. And it's been the most popular video we've ever made. And I don't understand this.
Sex sells, you know.
But it's not sex. And frankly, Yvonne, the woman in it, she's not like wearing, you know, like this bizarre outfit or anything. People just loved it. There are a bunch of very, very filthy people in our audience. I'll tell you what. Just looking for filth and people being beaten on the ass and all this kind of thing. Well, Yvonne grew up in a small mining town. And during her school days, she performed in school theater productions and youth choirs and participated in debates. And then just decided, no, I'm going to be a dominatrix. No, I'm kidding. That's not how it went. But we'll find out all about that now. Because she studied drama at the University of Pretoria, started her career in the late 90s doing TV ads. And her first professional acting job was a cameo role as a drunken lady in a red dress sitting on a bar stool in the British film Bravo 2-0. So she's been in movies. She's best known maybe as her role as Pietra Malharba Ter Blanche on the first two seasons of the SABC2 soapy Sievendelaan, which has launched so many careers, but we know her best from our YouTube channel. And here is the clip. You got it? Oh God, James, you're really setting yourself up to be beaten this morning. You're going to be beaten today.
Yeah, that deserves a beating.
Oh, my God. Luckily, we have a dominatrix here to sort you out.
Goodness me.
Unbelievable. Anyway, we'll show you the clip in a second. But Yvonne, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me onto the show.
Yeah, no, it's nice lovely. It's lovely to see you again.
You too.
So you haven't, I mean, did you even know about the success of this video?
No, I've shared the video a few times, but I actually never looked at the views. I didn't know it was that popular. I'm glad.
It's massively popular. Beats everything. I mean, I get like celebrities in here and we talk to them, and I've had some of the world's smartest and cleverest and best and most interesting people. They love you more. You're the most popular.
Well, in my subculture, I am a celebrity. I'm just not a celebrity in sort of the world above this world. You know?
Are you still doing the dominatrix stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, full time.
The producers told me you weren't. So I was like, oh no, then she probably doesn't want to talk about it. But I'm so thrilled that you're back.
Mm. Thank you. Okay. Well, maybe that's another reason to give him a beating if he didn't give you the most updated information.
Have you got the clip for us now? Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. You better have, you've got 1 minute. Do you want to sort him out for me?
Yeah, well, I reckon.
Do you want to see what I brought
yes,
to do
let's,
that?
Yes, let's have a look at what you got in your bag there. Okay, here. Yvonne's got...
Ooh. This one I actually got from Casper de Vries as a gift.
That's amazing.
And it says, I know, which means sore. And yes, it's for the hands or the bum.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And
okay.
Then I brought a martinet, which Ooh. Is a whipping implement, but it's not just for whipping. So it's a multi-strand.
Wow.
As you can see, multi-tailed
yeah.
or multi-folds. You could also call this folds. And it's from leather, and it's a traditional French implement, martinet.
Okay.
It's very severe, quite severe.
Okay.
Less so if it's used over clothes.
Okay.
And I'm sure we're not going to let your producer strip naked today.
No, God, no. Okay. No one wants to see that. What's and that?
This is a strap. So it's a thick leather strap, but it's a belt-like implement, as you can see, and it's very heavy. And you can use it. You can't use it on the hands. It's too thick and heavy, but
Leanne,
it's for use on the
give it a
bum.
Feel. Give it a feel.
Make it a feel.
Yes, you can give yourself a soft swat on the hand.
It's like very limp, but yes. heavy.
So if you want to try this one, you can.
No, on try the A nothing.
Oh, that gives quite a sting.
Yes. Yeah,
give me a clap.
Mm.
It's like a high five. Okay. All right. Okay.
And then the last implement is this one. And it is a Ooh. Wooden paddle, a beautiful one, with a mother of pearl inlay. I don't know. Which is my camera anyway.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah, so it's quite a stunning. It's a very severe paddle actually, because as you can see, it's quite thick.
It is thick.
Yeah, so it's like for use not on the hands, like but on the bum.
You know what that is? That's right. A cricket bat for those hobbit-like creatures.
True. Yeah. Yes, it is like a mini cricket bat.
Those hobbit-like creatures would have used that to play cricket if only they were smart enough to have survived. It's very pretty.
Yes, it Your. Is.
Okay, so now, do you administer beatings?
Yes.
To what? Like, you obviously can't talk about who your clients are, but it's a community. So this is what fascinates me about all of these people who are into this stuff, because I've never really been into the whole S&M. Mm. What is it? BDSM. Isn't
BDSM.
That the... Yeah, BDSM. That's that group that they boycott Israel as well, aren't they?
What?
Oh, no, that's BDS. Sorry, okay. I always get them confused. But, okay, so the BDSM community, you get the – so it's bondage?
Discipline.
Discipline?
Bondage, bondage discipline, yes.
Okay, domination or discipline?
Dominance.
Okay, you're the dominatrix, so I'm not going to argue with you, but the – S&M is for sadomasochists.
Yes, so the BD also stands for bondage and discipline, and then dominance and submission, and then sadism and masochism.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's a whole lot of meanings here. So how big is this community?
It's massive. It's millions of people worldwide, millions and millions. I mean, it's
amazing, hey?
It's sometimes just as simple as, you know, somebody likes to be tied to the bedpost while they are making love, you know, having sex, or... it is just as simple as maybe somebody likes being choked during sex. Often it's on the lighter side and on the heavier side, but on the lighter side, it's sexual practices. But then, the way I always explain it, you know, if you look at what those old family trees of, say, the royal family of England, you know, so there was the first ancestor at the top, and then it branches out like a tree.
Yes.
The roots of a tree. Mm. And it's the same with BDSM. So at the top, you have the BDSM, bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, sadism, and masochism. And from that sprouts thousands and thousands of fetishes, BDSM and BDSM practices.
And in South Africa, do we know how big it is?
I don't know. I don't know how big it is, but
I mean, I
there
don't expect
many thousands of people into it if you look on FetLife.
Okay, so I'm not asking you to be a spokesperson for that whole community, because I mean, you don't have a leader.
No.
And, you know, it's not like there's some election that you hold every 3 years, re-elect. Okay, should we elect Gayton McKenzie to be the head of the BDSM movement? It's an amazing thing, though, because in any other time in human history, it would have been very difficult for people to get together, to find each other. Now, thanks to the internet, anybody who's into that world can find other people. You just mentioned a site. What's it?
FetLife. It's like the Facebook of BDSM.
Okay. FetLife. And what, do you put up a profile picture or really?
Exactly. It has a very similar layout to FetLife. You have friends, you can like stuff, you can comment on stuff and message each other.
Yeah, and you're on there, aren't you?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I've been... Look, I've been on some other sites. I've been on, I've told you I was part of the swinging community.
Yes, that's true.
So, yeah. I mean, anything's possible. So, but no, for me, I've tried a few things, but I actually, and I can't believe I just give this information to
go
you
on,
all.
Just
but
say
anyway,
it. Go on.
Being tied up or restrained instills a panic attack in me.
It would in me too.
Really? Okay, so maybe I am a dominatrix.
Maybe. After all okay, these years. So how did you get into it?
Well, I was always fascinated as a child, from childhood. I was fascinated with seeing corporal punishment of various sorts performed on vanilla movies, TV series.
Right.
I mean, it's actually widespread, you know, from Indiana Jones.
Sure, with a
his whip.
You
know, you see school corporal punishment in period dramas, you know, period historical pieces. You see it happening. You see people being whipped on slave posts, in historical dramas. So obviously I didn't like seeing the protagonists, people who don't deserve it, or people against their consent. That's not the part I like. What I just liked seeing was the movement of the implements through the air, especially whips, you know, the sinuous and snake-like movements as it travels on its way to target.
Right.
I was just mesmerized by it. And when I became an adult, I didn't know that something like BDSM existed, but I always had this fascination and hidden desire to perform corporal punishment. I didn't really think about it because it made me uncomfortable because I didn't know that it could be consensual.
Mm.
But I just really liked it and liked the idea of it. And then when I found out about it, I always wanted to do it, but I didn't immediately because I was scared of being outed because
and
I
judged,
knew about the prejudice.
Right. And judged by this because people, listen, there are a lot of very, very weird people in this world who pretend to be totally ordinary and upstanding members of society. And then as soon as the lights go out or, you know, the kids have gone to sleep, they become these maniacs. And they're all doing like insane shit to each other. And most of it is hopefully not dangerous or immoral or unethical. But there is this weird gray spot in between where people can indulge in their fantasies and their fetishes. And I think South Africa's probably got some dark and deep places where a lot of that stuff happens.
Or just in people's bedrooms. So for me, regarding me specifically, I'm not a sexual sadist. So it's not bedroom play for me.
Okay.
I am just a sadist. And the word sadist actually has quite a lot of negative connotations to it because people think, usually when you hear or read about the word sadist, it's with serial killers who are also psychopaths and whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not a psychopath. I don't want to beat you or just random people or children or animals.
Sure.
I'm only interested in beating consensual adults, people who enjoy being beaten. Then, you know, so there's a massive difference. So people have a negative connotation maybe for the word sadist or just with BDSM in general.
I mean, I've read about the Marquis de Sade, right, who was this French nobleman who was a complete nutcase. And he, at the time, like the late 1700s, and we get the word sadism from his surname, Sade, he was completely crazy. And maybe that's part of the reason that people associate it with so many bad things.
Yeah, it's like it's often associated with political or, you know, governmental leaders who are just out of control.
But like Hitler?
Yes.
You think Hitler was a sadist? You think so? He probably beat a few people. I mean, he did Ernst Röhm, who was in a spa town somewhere in Germany, during one of the putches where Hitler was angry, burst into this guy's room with a whip and started cracking it. And I mean, you'd have to be a bit like, you know, sadistic to do that, right? Start cracking a whip.
There's nothing wrong with being a sadist in the BDSM realm, in a BDSM environment.
No, I'm not saying anything wrong. Listen, I was interested to have you here because I think you could probably teach us all a couple of things about this. I'm certainly not worried about that. I'm not into the pain, though, and that's something that I think a lot of people don't entirely understand about this. Is to me, like, pain is here and pleasure's here. It's a long way from each other. So for the people receiving it, they have to be a little bit into the pain, don't they?
Yeah. Well, somebody can be into BDSM and only be into the bondage part, you know,
right?
Or only be into the dominance part.
Right.
So I am, my role is in BDSM is I'm a dominant sadist.
So how does it work? Do you match up with people on this this website and they say, I would love for you to just paddle my ass for like, you know, half an hour?
So I have a very comprehensive questionnaire, which I send to people with 30 questions, which I send to people before I will agree to see them. And according to their answers, I determine our compatibility. So I will only see people if we are compatible.
Right.
And then
because you don't want to end up with some freak show.
Mm. Yeah, you see, if somebody, has an expectation with me as a BDSM professional that I'm going to wank them, you know, I don't do that. I'm just not interested in doing it.
No.
Wanking random people.
So, God, I'm very pleased to hear it.
So I
good for
specialize
you.
In corporal punishment and discipline.
Okay.
So if a
lawyer at some boring law firm has spent night after night drafting all kinds of terribly boring documents and decides like he's been a bad boy and now wants you to come and paddle him because this is the most exciting thing that could possibly happen to him after spending hours and hours in a tall building in Sandton, then you could do the questionnaire and you go like, yeah, I'll beat you.
Mm.
And you go over and you beat him.
Mm. So that is what you said now, excitement. That is one of the three main reasons why people would see somebody like me.
Right.
Is excitement.
One of the three. So what are the other two?
One of the other reasons is people love giving up, for some people, love giving up control because they always have to be in control in every aspect in their life, maybe in their profession, or just we all have to be in control all the time. You know, there's traffic and you have to try and be in control of where you drive and to be on time and just simple things like the traffic, the food. You have to decide, what am I going to eat for breakfast today,
and
lunch,
people
dinner.
Are overwhelmed by all of
people
this.
People are overwhelmed by all the choices they have to make all the time. So for many people, not for everybody, for many people it would be traumatic, but for some people to submit to a dominant person is wonderful because they don't
like
have to think.
Yep.
Yeah.
For that hour, they don't have to make any choices.
Are there women and men who will ask for your services?
Yes, about 5% of my clients are women.
Really?
But only about 5%. Yes. Mm.
And do you ever ask questions or do you just like deliver the punishment about why they're interested in this?
Yes, I've been doing it for 10 years now, so I know why people are interested in it. So we didn't get to the third one.
Oh,
and
yes.
The third reason is some people are just really into pain. They're masochists.
Uh-huh.
So it's usually for excitement or because of submission purposes and masochistic purposes.
Okay.
So why do people do it, you asked? And that is, let's talk about masochists because the pain aspect is the aspect that you're not certain about just because of your own preferences and limits. Masochists... some of them just really like the sensation of pain. They like receiving pain. And for non-masochists like the three of us, it's difficult to understand.
Well, don't speak for Leanne. She's into all kinds of
never know.
But what happens? So say you walk here and you trip over that cable of that camera and you sprain your ankle.
Yes.
It's very sore. Your body immediately releases lots of hormones to help you cope with that pain.
Right.
One of them would be adrenaline.
Yes.
Another hormone, it's actually a set of hormones. Endorphins is not, aren't just one hormone, but your body also releases endorphins.
Sure, which can make you feel good.
It makes you feel fantastic. Mm. It's the same hormones that are released if you don't know what endorphins is.
And
when you drink, take drugs, exercise, and so on.
And
know?
I mean, I suppose also some people's lives are kind of dull and they're looking for some level of excitement. Mm. So if you can make it exciting by feeling pain, at least you're feeling something. Mm. You know,
it's like you can imagine it being an absolute reset for a lot of people.
Definitely.
Like we often speak about calibrating with Dr. Hanan.
Mm.
And it's almost like bringing you back to a level that you understand and that's your neutral.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, so it has if somebody wants the pain and they go to somebody who's skilled at delivering it for an hour long, you know, that it is very beneficial to them.
So,
it is beneficial to their lives in general. And that beneficial effect It's called subspace. It lasts for days and it makes them feel euphoric, but also proud of themselves. Good in general.
I remember there's still the corporal punishment at school when I was at school.
Yes. Mm.
And all of the guys at school, they didn't do it to the girls. I don't think they beat the girls.
No, they did.
They did.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Less often, but they did.
Okay. Well, when we used to get a hiding, or six of the best if you were really bad, you know, like it was bamboo cane, and the headmaster would smack you on the ass. Mm. And then we would make a little line in our tie, and like you could tell some really bad kids at the school just didn't even have a tie left because they'd been beaten so many times.
Because you would pull
times.
A thread out
right,
to mark
exactly.
it.
Oh, you'd pull a thread out?
Yeah, but we kind of proud of ourselves. We're kind of like, yeah, I just got a hiding because I'm a, you know, little shit.
Yeah.
And then you would obviously have a competition on with your friends to see who would get the most hidings in the year.
Jacks.
And Jacks. And we weren't especially embarrassed by it or especially proud of it. But it was just a thing. It was part of being at school. Now you talk like that and people go, oh, you know, how terrible that you were abused at school. It's not abuse. Mm. You were just a young man is a hard thing to control. Like if you're a teacher or a headmaster and you're trying to get these out of control, unruly little shits to behave, like sometimes you have to beat them. I don't know how teachers manage it now. Mm. Because at least for a little while after that, you would behave yourself.
Mm. But the reason why it worked, or you know, in some people's definitions, was because you were petrified of it.
And yeah, it was more the build-up.
It needed to be a punishment that you would not want to have. Otherwise, you would just do it all the time.
But I think Gareth was more referring to juveniles because I am vehemently anti-corporal punishment on children. Mm-hmm. But I do condone corporal punishment on juveniles because I think he was specifically referring to an age 16 and above.
Yeah,
more,
I mean,
you know,
listen,
than children.
Yeah, I certainly don't. I don't think it's ever right to beat kids, and I don't know how schools would go about disciplining kids now. You don't just, you know, a boy, you don't send to the naughty corner. No, you don't say to them, you've got to sit there quietly for an hour. That's hell on earth. They'd rather just get hiding.
But there's what I've seen a lot of schools doing now, and obviously more overseas than here, is instead of things like corporal punishment, instead of things like writing lines or sitting in a corner, they're engaging them in things like meditation, counseling to find out why they did what they did.
Imagine doing that with a hyperactive 17-year-old kid. It's not going to work. Yeah.
Well, just now that you've mentioned writing lines, for most masochists, adult masochists in the BDSM realm, obviously they're adult, in the BDSM realm, people would much rather receive corporal punishment than write lines. And it's still a punishment that I often give to people is to write lines.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Okay, so you don't even administer physical punishment to people. Sometimes you just treat them like they're a bad person who needs to be punished.
Mm. And things like corner time is very popular. I
really?
Like to give people corner time. Yes, or I take privileges away from them. They can't watch TV. There's many.
And they listen
many
to you?
Yes, of course. Yes. Yes, if they submit to my authority, either in, if it's one of my two slaves, then BDSM slaves, then they always submit to my authority permanently.
So how does this start? Do they come to you and say, I'm going to pay you X amount of money and I want to be your slave?
No, I won't accept just somebody like that as a slave.
Oh.
No, both my slaves, my one slave I've known for nearly 10 years and the other one I've known for 2.5 years.
And slavery is illegal.
It is illegal. But BDSM slavery means something different.
Okay.
So it's consensual pre-negotiated slavery.
So you've had this slave for 10 years.
No, he only became a slave three years ago.
So how does that work? How did it start?
So it's actually a very comprehensive answer, which I'll try to condense. There are many different types of BDSM slavery. So you get some people who are into domestic servitude, you know. So
that's useful around the house.
Yes. So some people can be
clean
domestic slaves. Some people are sex slaves, you know.
Right.
Some people are, in my case, it's just general slavery. So I can use them for anything I want. And I use them for my sadistic pleasure.
Sure.
But I also, when they visit me at my house...
And they enjoy being slaves.
Yes. And I, when they're at my house, I also use them for domestic servitude. You know, if I'm there, I'm not going to lift. If they're there, I don't lift a finger. You know, they pick up from my dog poop to washing my dishes to making coffee and cleaning my, my lenses of my glasses and just anything.
God, how fantastic that you found a way around the slavery problem. I really, I mean, this is what I, maybe I should just join this community. I can have people working for me. Like, even though I'm not into it, I could pretend, and then I can have slaves, and they can't give me shit about it.
No, they can't.
Wow.
Not if it's consensual, pre-negotiated BDSM slavery.
These people have jobs, they have lives, they have responsibilities in the real world. They're not like losers who are...
Not at all.
Okay.
Submission does not mean that you're a weakling, that you're a loser at all. So some people submit only for the hour or the half an hour that a session lasts, or the 3 or 4 hours.
Do they pay you?
Then they pay, yes. My slaves don't have to pay me to be my slaves. We are...
No, but you certainly don't pay them.
No. Helmet. Not at all. No.
That's the whole point of slavery.
With my slaves, there's no money that changes hands. It's something else. Completely. I love my slave more than I love most of my family members.
Really?
Yes.
You have two?
I have two.
And do they do different things?
No. I'm actually a relatively simple creature in the BDSM realm. I'm dominant and I'm a sadist.
Do your slaves have to get along?
Yes, they must get along. They call each other brother.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, and they know
because
each other.
Because they're brothers in pain. Yes, they know each other very well. Yes.
What, sure. Do they look, are they older, younger?
Of them is in his 50s and one of them is in his 20s.
Wow, so there's a big age range.
Yes, the oldest person I've beaten was in England 2 years ago, and he was 89 years old. He has unfortunately since passed away.
Yes, the Duke of Rutland. Yeah, I remember him. He was into
personal friend.
And the youngest person I've beaten was 19 years old.
19, huh? Yes. Straight out of school, and they're like, I need you to beat me.
Yeah, I'm missing the beating I used to get.
And now that you mentioned school, you know, even though I'm obviously like
I've never been beaten since school. So it's anything I can think of in my life.
Do you want to be?
No, thanks. No. I mean,
I'm here. If you're curious.
It's just like some people are into it and some people aren't, right? So how do you know if you're into it?
Well, people will usually know. But what triggered a lot of masochists was the school corporal punishment culture.
Mm. Otherwise, how would you have known?
Yeah, in South Africa, it was abolished in 1995. Yeah, so if somebody was in school
new inputs.
In 1995, they would be more or less in their mid-40s by now.
Yeah.
So that is why worldwide... Because school corporal punishment and judicial corporal punishment was more or less abolished worldwide in most countries, in the last 30 to 50 years.
Right.
So that is why the average age of masochists, most masochists are between 40 to 90 years old. And they are younger masochists, but they are far less than they were previous decades.
So are you worried about a supply problem?
It will eventually die out. People do realize that they're masochists in other ways, but the school corporal punishment system, as well as home corporal punishment by parents, it triggered a lot of people.
Wow.
It triggered this masochism. But I think, just my personal opinion, is that people are born either a masochist or not. You know, they're going to be into it or they're not going to be into it. And so many times it was triggered in the school system, but it wasn't triggered immediately. It wasn't sexual, because children aren't sexual creatures, you know. But say you're a heterosexual male and you are 14 years old and a attractive female teacher paddles you or uses a strap on you or whatever.
She's going to, and you like her.
Yes, and it's not sexual in the moment, but years later, it would evolve into something sexual, and then they're a masochist, and they would seek out the services of somebody like me.
So someone asked here, is it okay, this is from Marco, he says, are men allowed to have female slaves to beat? A genuine question, because we also live in a country where we've got gender-based violence and we hear all of this stuff. And if you're a woman who actually wants that, or you like being choked or whatever, you got to be super careful because, I mean, for the guy, it could be very dangerous. He could end up being called an abuser, even if he isn't. For you, it's very dangerous. You could end up with a guy who is actually abusive. You start off thinking it's just fun. Like, How does that work? How do you guys control that?
It's very easy to answer. His name is Marco. It's very easy to answer your question, Marco. So, yes, it's okay for a male dominant.
Marco, by the way, he's so into it that he's in a wheelchair now. He was beaten, so.
So it's very easy. Is it safe?
Yeah.
Is it sane? Is it consensual? So it can only be consensual if it's an adult.
Yeah.
And if they are able to give consent.
Right.
Okay? So they mustn't be
retarded.
Unconscious. Yeah. They mustn't be compromised in any way, mentally, you know. So is it consensual? If somebody gives enthusiastic consent, I'm not going to talk about consent here because it's easy to research how to ask consent and it's going to eat up some of our time. Is it consensual? Is it sane?
How do you work out if it's sane? So you could end up with some properly screwed up people.
So sane, it mustn't. So I am a sadist. I must always control my bloodlust and make sure that I am still in a sober state of mind, because just like endorphins are released for the masochist, receiving the pain or the submissive.
It's like a high.
I also get high.
You get a high.
Also go and high. From the it's just so fantastic.
Have you ever beaten someone so hard that there was blood?
Yes, I often do, because I specialize in judicial corporal punishment, which means it's South Africans. Let me give you a reference. You know, pre-1995, when judicial corporal punishment was still happening in South Africa. So many people remember maybe talking about the police canings.
Let me tell
you. That is how hard I can cane.
I reckon we could use you in our justice system.
Yes.
We could use
it. It is very effective.
A couple of people who like litter, just like petty crimes.
Petty
crime. Littering, speaking horribly to an adult, that kind of thing. You know, if you're rude, if you're just a rude, obnoxious person, we send you around and you just deliver a good beating.
It is very effective. So it was very effective for petty crime.
Misbehaving,
judicial corporal punishment.
Right. And if they steal from a shop or something, give them a beating.
So just to get back to that question, there's just a final, to say something final on it, and that is, so if it's safe, sane, and consensual, then you can go ahead and find somebody who wants to be beaten by a male dominant, a female, and yes, go ahead and have fun.
Very good. Well done to you. You carved out a niche here. Do you have a shambok?
Yes, I love shamboks. Oh, I actually wanted to bring it with today, but then I thought, the poor Uber driver might be.
I mean, how do you transport all this stuff? Or what other implements that you didn't bring are too big to actually fit into your bag?
So I transported it in a big fishing rod case. Yes. I specialize in the use of the cane and the shambok, and I have a vast collection of shamboks. Even Hippo hide shamboks. If I ever do come back on your show,
Hippo
I will bring it
up. Hide shamboks.
Yes, so hippo skin, hippo leather. Is hippos are protected, but they're not endangered. So it's a legal leather trade. So hippo skin is so hard and thick and dense that it feels like wood. So it's a very severe type of shambok. You know, here in South Africa, we're lucky enough. Well, I think it's lucky enough that shamboks are sold at traffic lights. You know, that's the most common type of shambok that you get in South Africa at the traffic lights. But then you get much more severe shamboks the police used to use for riot control. They used to use rubber shamboks. You get plastic shamboks that you can buy at co-ops, you know, or specialist stores, I think. I don't know where, except co-ops. And then you get hippo-hide shamboks and other leather shamboks. But hippo-hide shamboks are the most severe types of shamboks that you get. But you get another, the last one. And that is, it's called an Ochsenzimmer. And it's a type of shambok.
Yeah.
And it's made from a bull's pizzle skin, a bull's penis skin.
Bull's pizzle.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. It's very severe. Very severe.
Bull's pizzle.
Cheapest.
You want one of those now, don't you, Leanne? Leanne's always wanted to say, if you come near me, I'll just use my bull's pizzle on you. So last time we had you on, and the video that got all this reaction, it was young Michael Flax, who has become a very responsible and a serious person.
Married man.
He's married. He's got a good job. He makes a lot of sense. He's a model citizen, actually.
Okay.
And I think it has to do with the fact that you beat him into shape.
Okay. Yeah,
I think you would take some credit for that. So, James, come here quickly.
Oh, boy.
Come here. Flex, do you think this is a good idea? not Flax, but Flex, our other producer.
Okay.
Okay, so James, just come here.
It has to be
so
consensual, though, remember.
Yeah, of course. No, we'll ask his permission. So, James, come here. Just stand here with Yvonne. And just tell us, James. So, James, you've choose your weapon.
Sure.
James, so do you consent to this?
No, it's nothing. It's not going to be horrible, James. It's going
to
be.
No, it has to be yes.
It's really for sound.
Otherwise, I do. Okay.
What we're doing is we're testing the sound so that we can see if it's the kind of thing that we can create a sound effects bank from. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
I'm it's very you. Roundabout way.
Let's go with
which weapon do you think is the most severe here?
Let's go with this one.
This spittle.
This is the bad news.
That's the wooden one.
It is severe, but I mean, I'm obviously not going to go full force on you.
That's good.
Oh, okay.
So obviously,
just move
going to move
over this
way.
Yeah. Come over here, you two.
You'll have to bend over like this so that the audience can see your bum and so
but
that
don't
the
worry, we won't expose anything. Just through the tracksuit pants.
Just
a light beating for all the times he's made a disaster of the show.
And let's just
there we
just
are.
Just like this.
Okay, there we are.
Okay, so I'm going to give you one on each bunch.
Oh, no, okay, fine.
I hope your parents are watching, James.
They probably are.
To brace yourself?
I don't want to. Okay.
That's not so bad.
How was that?
That's not so bad.
Okay, well, I've said two.
Okay.
So let's do a medium one. Okay, don't clench your butt, because if you clench, then I'm going to have to redo it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, very good.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, James, that was medium severity.
Go before we
are
change
okay?
our mind.
I'm good, I'm all good.
Okay, good,
because we were going to get the Shambok. I know there are a lot of people in the comments. Thank you, James.
Is there a name for people who enjoy watching that?
Yes, voyeurs.
Right.
So what kinds of serious job prospects are there for people in this line of work?
Well,
can you make good money? Is it something you could do all the time? And as you said earlier, it's not for you. It's not sexual at all.
Mm.
So I think a lot of people don't understand that. They would imagine it's a kind of sex work, which it really isn't for you.
It is classified as sex work. So even though I never remove my clothes, even though I'm always fully clothed, and even though I don't perform traditional sex acts, it is still in the adult industry, and I am a sex worker.
Okay. Mm. So in other words, if you go and you've checked out the client and you're happy to like administer punishment to them, you're going to get your high. They're going to get their high. Everybody's going to be happy. But if you get there and it's some creepy dude and he's wearing like holy underpants like Joost van der Veste is in war and he wants you to beat him, and then he's going to get all like aroused. And I mean, do you ever go like, ugh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm out.
No, my pre-session...
You'll check it out first.
My questionnaire and my pre-session protocol
very
is very thorough.
Right.
I've never encountered a creep. But it is sex work. It's classified as sex work. And it is, unfortunately, still criminalized in South Africa. And
you're joking.
I don't hope... that it will become decriminalized. I don't want to talk about money at all.
Sure.
That was one of your questions.
Okay.
But another one of your questions, just in terms, I have multiple streams of income. So I do in-person sessions, but I also am a adult content manufacturer. So I manufacture spanking content and sell it on big international sites.
Is it big?
Massive.
So a lot of people pay for that?
Yes, because I sell on some of the biggest porn and BDSM sites in the world.
Wow.
American sites.
Okay.
So I'm not breaking any South African laws.
No, but that's cool.
No, because it's illegal in South Africa to manufacture pornography as well. So anyway, I'm not breaking the law. And then I also sell Ipahai Chambox. I don't manufacture them myself.
And
Bulls
Pizzles, can you give us one of those?
Yes. I can show you. I can bring it with you if I ever come to the show again.
Well,
I will.
What? Considering how popular you are with our filthy audience, we've got to have you back regularly.
So
I just want to read you some of these comments. You can tell they're all filthy. Vyasan, harder, harder. Bitcoin, but harder. Hugh, James finally gets what he deserves. Tracy, she went easy on him. These people just...
All voyeurs, I'm telling you.
Yeah. You filthy bastards. You should be ashamed of yourselves. You should be punished. In fact, I'm sending the dominatrix to all of you after this. Bitcoin Butt says, cheers, James. James got off lightly.
You
I can take 10 times that. You see?
Oh, well, come and visit me, James.
There we go.
No, who was it?
We have? Oh, do you have the video? Yeah, this is the video that originally got all these views. And I'm so happy to have you back. So
I'm nice very to happy see you. To see
I'm
you
I'm so glad
again.
You're still doing this stuff because one of the producers told me, no, you'd stopped and you'd become, some boring housefrau in some
not
suburb. And okay, thank God. Okay, here it is. Here's the video that started it all.
I'm prepared to try this.
Okay.
So let's warm me up.
Okay.
And then let's go with tickle touch over here.
Okay. So then you can bend over with your bum to the camera and bend over a bit. And then usually it will be on a naked bum, but it's like this.
Oh, yo!
It was so soft.
My bum's so soft.
I'm sure it's also warm now.
It stings.
Imagine how it feels on a naked bum.
Okay, let's do the next one while it's still numb. Okay. What's next?
Well, there's no swinging space for the cane, so I'll use the Ochsenzimmer. It's a bull's puzzle whip.
A bull's puzzle.
Yes. A bull's puzzle that's been stretched and dried and twisted. And this one was stained red as well. In Spanish, it's called a picha de toro.
Okay, let's do this.
Okay.
Aha.
No, you're overreacting.
So
now, with someone like you, I won't incorporate corporal punishment into a session. I'll let you kiss.
We'll get people to go, all right, if you want to watch the rest, then you can go and find it. But I mean, this is the stuff that clearly our audience are into. But you know what? If our audience are into it, I'm very happy that you came to share some more insights with us. Ooh. How nice. Isn't that great, Leanne?
Yes.
See, never a dull day. Yeah, so listen, I mean, come and visit us again because who knows when James needs another smack. Just get him in line and we'll let you know if his behavior improves.
Mm. Well, I would love if you have a few politicians on you, if he's been behaving badly, just call me.
I cannot imagine a better scenario than you just going into parliament with that bull's pizzle and just smashing the hell out of everyone who's sleeping and misbehaving and making bad laws.
Mm. It will be very effective.
This country would be a brilliant place if you could just use your bull's pizzle on those politicians. No, we're not roping. You don't get to decide. You're not in charge. You know, the problem is discipline is just broken down everywhere, right?
No, it has.
It really has. We need more people like you running around keeping people in line. I tell you, we'd have a better society. Leanne is going to study under you and become a master at this. Then I don't have to, bring you in every time. She can just deputize.
Yeah, look, I've always had a thing for the teacher thing. So
really?
You do. So are you into role play? Or don't you want to answer? You don't know.
Oh, she's not embarrassed.
I'm not embarrassed. No, I like being the boss lady.
Okay.
Oh, the teacher lady.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, she sometimes
the librarian.
She sometimes puts on those very, very long high heels and then she stands on men's balls.
I've never actually quite understood the testicle pain thing.
No,
but
neither have I. I'm happy to say it. I don't ever want to. There's some things that I just don't need to try.
Teacher role play is also one of my favorites. I love teacher role play, prison role play, police role play. I like those types of role play.
Yeah, well, in South Africa, it doesn't have to be role play. If you just step out of line, our prisons are probably so horrible that the kinds of punishment you'd get there would be a lot worse.
Well, not what we've heard lately. It's a good place to be, apparently.
Well, if you've ever been to the Constitution Museum, whatever's happening in prisons now, it can't be as bad as it was pre-1995.
Yes. They would torture people. Mm. What kind of equipment would you really like to get that you haven't got yet?
Well, I've got an exact copy of the prison trestle.
What's a prison trestle?
So it's like a trestle, like an easel. Looks like an easel that you would paint on.
Yeah.
At the Constitution Hill Museum, I have an exact copy of the prison trestle that people were strapped to be beaten.
Oh, really? And some of the people that you've beaten would ask to be strapped to that?
Yes. Wow. It's in many of my clips, actually, where I use my prison trestle. It's so big. It's 3 meters high.
Sure.
Tall or whatever high. So it can't be used indoors. It's just too big.
Wow. I mean, you would have done so well in medieval times. Mm.
You know? Well, that was insane. Some of those things.
Yeah.
That, oh, no.
I mean, put people in the stocks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, well, stocks is I would actually like to have stocks, but stocks, it's very popular. Stocks.
Okay.
It's a very popular piece of BDSM furniture. People BDSM are beaten while in it or... Okay. Or used for sexual purposes if it's a power exchange session.
Yeah, Azalea has a question just before we go. How do you introduce this at home without freaking your partner out? I think Azalea wants you to help her introduce it to her partner.
So I, you know what, that's actually something I feel very passionate about. So your partner, people's husbands, wives, partners, usually know, if somebody asks you, what's your husband's favorite rugby team? What's his favorite color? What's his dream car? What is his biggest fear even?
Right.
You will be able to answer that question. But if you ask somebody, what is your partner's biggest sexual fantasy?
Yeah.
Most people would not be able to answer that because they are scared.
Yeah.
What if I tell my husband that my biggest fantasy is to be railed by, you know, seven men in a row, you know, you know, it's actually a common fantasy or group sex or whatever. People, the possession part of sex.
Yeah.
So people think that if they're in a relationship, they possess the other people and they also possess their sex organs, which is absolute nonsense. Not every sexual fantasy you have is going to involve your romantic partner. And that is okay. But people are they confuse romantic partnership with possession. You never possess somebody else, and you cannot possess every sexual fantasy they have.
No.
It doesn't always involve you.
And also, calm down. Nobody's thinking about you all the time. Yes. It's not always about
exactly.
you. Right?
So to answer your question, if you did not introduce or give full disclosure about all your sexual fantasies at the beginning of relationships, it is more difficult to disclose afterwards. But there are ways, and that is... You can always write down a variety of sexual fantasies, including all yours, and tell your partner
them in there,
and then put it in a fishbowl.
Tabo says,
and then make a game out of it.
Tabo says in the comments, seven black men in a row would send your husband spiraling.
Well, I said seven men in a row, but anyway, seven black men. Yeah, I'm up for that.
Listen,
anyway, so there's many different ways that you can introduce. Use sexual fantasies later in a relationship, but anyway, it's going to take me a while to explain. So
no, listen, this is good. So if people wanted to get hold of you and find out more about this,
yes,
is there a place that they can find you?
Yes, so they can go to www.mistressbatten.com.
Mistress Batten.
Yes, and then they can also go onto Twitter.
That's a good website URL, because if they can't spell, they're already out of the running. If you can't spell mistress, you don't know that's two S's at the
and
end.
And it's Batten, B-A-T-O-N.
Right.
And then I'm also on Twitter, so you can just search Mistress Batten on Twitter and a lot will come up. And,
beautiful.
I'm also on FetLife as Mistress Batten.
Very good. Well, listen, keep doing your excellent work.
Thank you.
I would love for you to take control of our politicians at some point, but I don't think it's going to happen. And you know what? If consenting adults want to do this stuff and it makes their lives more interesting, how amazing that there's someone like you to help them out.
Great. Thank you for inviting me onto the show. It was really nice to see you again. And thanks for the lovely questions.
Sure. What a pleasure. Nice to see you. All right, everybody. That's all we got time for this morning. But we will see you on Wednesday, bright and early at 6 a.m. Don't miss it.
I'm going to fucking shut everybody. Try that shit one more time, you better fucking grudge. I'm going to show you something, Fanati. I'm going to